And the coronavirus now touches every part of life in the U.S. Schools, gyms, casinos, theaters, bars, and even restaurants are now closed in many states, with sweeping calls to shut down in places like New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The stock market also plummeted once again after the Federal Reserve cut interest rates this weekend. For the latest, we're joined by NPR science correspondent Richard Harris. And Richard, the Centers for Disease Control recommendation says no more than 50 people should gather in one place. Why that number?
Hi, Tanya. I don't think that's a magic number. You wouldn't say, oh, it's fine just to have 49 people, but 51 tips the scales. But what we're seeing is obviously the more people crowd together, the more likely it is that infection will spread. And I will note that just last week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, when they issued guidance, said 250 was their recommendation to cities like Seattle and so on. So they have really adjusted things a lot. And I will point out this is not a blanket recommendation. It does not apply to the day-to-day operation of organizations such as schools, institutes of higher learning, or businesses. And they also say that events of any size should only be continued if they can be carried out with adherence to the guidelines for protecting vulnerable populations, which means hand hygiene and social distancing.
Yeah. The Trump administration says they're ramping up testing capabilities, but they've promised test kits before and not delivered. Could this be different this time? And how effective are these tests?
Yeah, well, it remains to be seen how different it is right now. The promises indeed have been legion. We heard a couple of weeks ago that there would be a million tests available at the end of the week. And of course, we're still nowhere remotely close to that. The American Enterprise Institute has been running a tally to figuring out how many tests can be run per day under ideal circumstances. And at the moment, they say it's 36,000 per day tests. But that assumes there's an effective way to gather those samples and to get those samples to labs. And that's really been as big a bottleneck as the ability to run these tests. So at least there are now two testing systems approved for use that can run thousands of tests simultaneously. So the technology is improving. People are working hard to get these systems in place. But I think believe it when you see it. You know, the demand is still so high. Obviously, even 36,000 tests a day falls pretty short.
Yeah. The president also said that Google was working on a website to help people get tested. But then Google said it was just an informational site. Do we know what's going on there?
I don't really know a lot about that, to tell you the truth. It was a lot of confusion of that over the weekend, and it's still being sorted out as far as I can tell. But let me say another word or two about the tests themselves, because you asked me how effective are these tests. And I should say that there are two things you care about when it comes to effectiveness. One is whether the test says you're infected when you're not, and the other is whether a negative test that you're really not infected. And from what I understand, from what I've been told, if you get a positive test result, that is really quite likely to be a real result. You really have been infected with the virus. But a negative test result is another matter. The test is really taken from swabs of the throat and the nose, but there's no saying that they'll pick up every virus that's in there, right? And there certainly have been cases where those swabs just miss a virus that was somewhere else, maybe like deep in the lungs. It's also possible that someone who has been tested is infected, but in fact that infection is still incubating, so the virus isn't proliferating that day, but it could proliferate the next day. So one of the lessons from public health officials is just because you have a negative test, it doesn't mean you're scot-free and you can go out and run around and assume you're not infecting other people.
Okay. I also want to ask you about something else. There's also been this tension between what the president has said and what other administrative officials have said. Anthony Fauci, for example, he's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And this is what he said yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press.
When you think you're doing too much, you're probably doing enough or not enough.
Okay.
All right. That's the thing you've got to do. You don't want to be complacent. You always want to be ahead of the curve.
I mean, there is definitely a sense of urgency there. And I think the bigger question is, should we be seeing this from all public health officials?
Well, the answer is absolutely yes. And we are increasingly seeing it from governors and health departments around the country. And the daily briefings from the White House, the Coronavirus Task Force, has also been a good opportunity for these messages to come out, both from Dr. Fauci and another key task force member, Deborah Birx. And they've been delivering clear and urgent public health messages. But so far, the president has not shared that degree of urgency. And you know, the real lesson of this is you really need to have clean communication, and that includes having credible and accurate messengers.
That's NPR science correspondent Richard Harris. As always, thank you so much.
Pleased to be here.